Hey, good morning, friends. Skip here. 5:20-something. 5:25. March 21st. It's a Thursday. I hope all things are well in your world. Coming down to the end of my stint in the kindergarten class. I think I might need a couple days next week when I'm done next Tuesday. And I think I might need to take Wednesday and Thursday off. I've done many hard things, my friends, but this is by far certainly the most emotionally challenging, maybe I should say. Anyway, kudos to you teachers. If you listen, if you're a teacher, man, you have my deepest, deepest, deepest respect. I want to start today with a question. The question is this: how do you know what you know? I don't want you to fly by that question. I don't want you to ignore it. I don't want you to not pay attention to that question and then listen to the next 13 minutes of what I have to say. I want you to think about that. How is it that you know what you know? How is it that you have learned to perceive the world? Think about that. I'm not going to give you too much time because I'm limited time on the podcast. My own limits, of course, but I want you to think about that seriously. I think it's an important thing to think about. And I don't think it's something we think about very often. I think we know what we know. We act how we act. And it never occurs to us, really, to, at least for the most part, to be self-reflective enough to say, you know, why do I think this way about this thing, whatever this thing may be? Why do I think this way about religion? Why do I think this way about politics? Why do I think this way about science? Why do I think this way about raising kids? Why do I think that way about being a grandparent? Whatever it is. And the answer will be because that's the way you've been taught. It just is. That's just the answer. Now, if you had a good upbringing and your parents were, and your grandparents, and your church communities, the communities you were surrounded by were nurturing and open and inclusive, then you're probably in pretty good shape. You're probably a kind and productive member of the world. If your upbringing, your family, your church, your whatever was close-minded, judgmental, exclusive, then that's how you are in the world. That's how people are in the world. I doubt you're that way. Personally, you wouldn't be listening to this podcast. But that's the way it works, right? We open our mouth when we're raising our kids and our parents come out because that's what we were taught. We go and vote a certain way often because that's what we're taught. Or it's in response to something we didn't like that we were taught. Many times I've seen people choose a religious community not because they want spiritual growth, but because they want to agree with the tenets, with the dogma of that particular religious affiliation. Because that's what they were taught. That's what we were taught. And I think if we stop and we think about it, it really becomes quite clear, crystal clear, that how we behave is really a result of what we're and who we're taught to be by others. Now, on one hand, that might be disturbing when you come to that realization, but it's a necessary realization. Now, maybe you were taught good things. Hey, don't, you know, if you were taught to be inclusive and loving, that's awesome. Thank you. Thank the people who raised you. Thank the teachers and the parents and the religious leaders, whoever it was that taught you that. But I think if we're being quite brutally honest with ourselves and we look at our world, I think we can see that most of the way the world functions, most of the way people perceive is not inclined toward things like inclusion and kindness and love. Those may be aspects of their being for some folk. But I think for the vast majority of people in the world, as I see it, and I don't want to sound too cynical, but I just want to name a reality. I think that kindness and generosity, they feel good when they do it, but it's a very rare thing. And that's not their fault, because we're not taught kindness and generosity. It doesn't come, that switch doesn't flip on. What the switch that we flip on is self-preservation. It's, I need to keep mine. I need to hoard love. I need to hoard kindness. I need to hoard money or material wealth. Because the world is cruel and it doesn't pay to be generous. It doesn't pay to be kind. That's the mindset I think that most of us learn. And then we sort of take that attitude that we're taught like that, that attitude of you know, self-preservation, the attitudes of transactional behavior. And then we place on top of that this sort of quest for, you know, some deeper meaning. And we begin to look towards things like religion, which, or politics even, which in and of themselves are a product of that sort of myopic, transactional understanding of reality. And we do all this to affirm what we've already been taught. There's a lot of affirmation that goes on when we're talking about growing an ego, growing a false self. We're searching for patterns that affirm who we are or who we think we are. And if we're honest with ourselves, I think we always have some piece of what we've been taught. I was speaking with a friend of mine the other day, and we were talking about, I had mentioned that I was a child of the 70s, and they were younger, child of the 90s. But, you know, there were expectations put on us by those time periods, right? Expectations of, gosh, drug use, or, you know, your life was kind of planned out for you. Things that were acceptable socially that are no longer. And that forms us. That forms how we see the world. It forms how we vote, or how we think spiritually, religiously. And so the answer to the question that I began with is really the reason we think the way we think, for the most part, is because that's how we're taught. Some people were lucky enough to be taught to think for themselves and search for themselves. Most people aren't. And I'm not sure what brought you to the podcast. I'm glad you're here. Maybe you know me personally. Hello, friend. Most of you don't. What brought me to do the podcast were circumstances in my life, many of which were my choice, but not all, that really stripped away enough of those false perceptions for me to see differently. And I think, you know, there are many approaches to spirituality. I think one of the approaches that everyone goes through is the drama and trauma of life often strip you of your perception. And it opens up an avenue for transformation. Not everyone takes it because we are so deeply trained to think certain ways, it's hard to get past it. Let me tell you a story. I may have told it before, but I'm going to tell it again. Many years ago, I knew a couple. They were older. I'm sure she's long gone now. Maybe in their late 70s, 80s, early 80s. And he had horrible heart problems. I mean, you know, several stents. The poor guy, just, he looked a wreck. This is back in, you know, the early 2000s. And before I knew them, he almost died. And the wife loved to tell a story that a group of people came to the hospital and prayed for him and he got better. I mean, several times she told the story. You know, very interesting story. You know, I didn't want to poke anyone's balloon, but, you know, it was important for this person to hold on to this notion that there was some higher power intervening. Well, ultimately, the husband died. And as the husband was dying, the wife was calling for that fervent prayer again, which she received. And he died that time. And there was sort of this realization. Her face always looked kind of in shock. I'm not laughing at that. I'm saying that she was questioning, and you could tell why at one point this worked and at another it didn't. And that is a deep existential question about how she was forming her reality. Now, I'm sure on some deep level she knew that none of us live forever. But as the husband got sicker and sicker and it appeared that prayer was not having the same result, ultimately the question becomes then, why aren't my beliefs working now? And she was told in her youth, I'm sure, and through her adulthood, going to a sort of mainline standard church, that if she just had enough faith, if she just prayed hard enough, things would go her way. And it appeared that that was reinforced with the husband's miraculous healing. Of course, there were doctors and medication, therapists involved in that healing, right? But she attributed it to the prayer and not the skill of the surgeon. And I'm not anti-prayer, my friends. My point is this, that when the man's body finally did stop functioning well enough to be alive, that was a perplexing existential moment for this person. And it is for everyone. Because we have been taught to believe a certain way and a certain thing. We look for circumstances that reinforce those beliefs so that we can continue to believe it. I'll tell you another story. Probably told it before, going to tell it again. Several years ago, I was on Facebook and there was a hurricane heading towards Florida. Weather channels, you know, were predicting this cataclysmic hurricane. Had a very Christian, fundamental Christian friend say it's because, you know, of all the social ills that we practice. You know, we have fallen. There's no longer, you know, the litany was long. You can only guess. I won't go there, but you can only guess what it was. And as the hurricane approached, you know, my friend was more worked up. I don't know what triggered this in him. But, and then all of a sudden, the hurricane turned away. Did not even touch land. Never heard anything back. Never heard anything more. Never saw any more posts on Facebook. Never saw the man say, well, maybe we're okay then. What he was searching for was a way to reinforce his already perceived, learned behavior so that he could continue it. One of my oldest friends too, great guy. But that's what we do. We have learned to understand reality from people who don't understand reality, not completely, and we look for ways to reinforce that. Now, some people have learned to see kindness as important. Keep reinforcing that. But I will tell you, man, my friends, I think one of the things the modern our modern life has taught us is that that teaching of inclusion and love and forgiveness and kindness is a fairly rare thing. So when you look at the world or when you think about how you think about things, remember that. Remember that it is about people learning to perceive in a certain way and then searching their entire lives to reinforce that perception. And then building institutions that reinforce that perception, be they political or religious, scientific, academic, doesn't matter, economic. And that becomes their reality. And if you want to know why people defend the indefensible, why people vote against their own best interest, it's because they perceive life in a certain way, where they're looking for the reinforcement of their already perceived belief. There you have it. Thus we have created, my friends, a matrix, a false reality, a reality where we have become strangers from our own self. All right, friends, there's hope. Keep working. Kindness and love is who we truly are. And I will always try to end there. I will always try to give that reminder. Talk to you soon, guys. Bye-bye.